And I thought about preaching on the anointings of Christ. I believe the Lord have us go this direction today. Ezekiel 14, and we want to read and begin reading in verse 12. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. For if I bring a sword upon the land, and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. For if I send a pestilence into the land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, there shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Pray that the Lord help me this morning with clearness of speech and mind to preach His Word. Father, we love you and thank you again for the good day that you give us here in your house. Father, I do pray, Lord, that you would forgive me every sin this morning. Father, that you fill me with thy Spirit. Lord, help me to preach and live in boldness thy Word. Father, I ask you, Lord, to clear my mind of all things that would hinder me in preaching this message today. I pray, Father, that you'd open hearts. Father, that somebody get help. Father, if you see fit to do, we'll thank you, praise you. If anybody's unsaved, we pray that you'd save for Jesus' sake. Lord, we just ask you, Father, that you meet needs now and use me, Father. I pray, Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Here in Ezekiel 14, verse 12 through 23, we just... yes, sir, Brother Martin.
You have a little feedback, I think. Feedback on the microphone.
Getting feedback?
Yes.
Amen. A lot. Let me shake that thing up. Does that sound any better? Okay. Amen. All right. In Ezekiel 13 and 14, verse 12 through 23, we was talking about a minute ago about three great men that's in the Scripture here. The Bible names the names here of these three men, and we want to look at them briefly this morning. I want you to notice here in our text in Ezekiel 14 and verse 12, the word of the Lord came again unto me, that's Ezekiel the prophet, and said, "Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, will break the staff of the bread thereof, will send famine upon it, will cut off man and beast from it." Now, God does sometimes bring judgment upon countries and upon peoples because of their wickedness. Amen. And of course, I know that America is suffering in different ways today because of the wicked things that we're letting go on in our nation this morning. And I love America with all my heart. I do think she's the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But I do know, I don't have my head stuck in the sand and think that America is just so wonderful and so great that she has no sin, because we have much sin in our nation.
Right.
And God is going to judge us as a nation for the sins that we allow in our country. But the Bible says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. I'm glad that when God does bring judgment sometimes upon peoples and nations, He has a remnant of righteous people that He protects, amen, divinely protects and blesses even in the midst of all that. But God names these three men here, Noah, Daniel, and Job. And I want to preach on Daniel just for a little bit this morning with the Lord's help. And let's go to the book of Daniel this morning. And we'll run some references and talk about what made Daniel a great man. Why did God call Daniel such a great man here in the Scriptures? Amen. As the Spirit of God spoke through His prophet, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So we know that God gave Ezekiel the word, and He mentioned these three men by name. And of course, Daniel was a great man. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says here, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now Daniel was a prince of the children of Israel, was taken in the first captivity. He was a young man about this time. He was about 18 years old, they say. And he had some friends about his age that they loved God with all their heart. And the king had brought these princes from Jerusalem to Babylon and to educate them in the ways of the Chaldeans and teach them the language of the Chaldeans. And of course, he commanded to give them bread and meat and wine and all kinds of things. And of course, the king's meat was unclean meat, perhaps pork or some other kind of meat that Jews were not supposed to eat. Amen. And so Daniel purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself with this portion of meat that comes from the king. And so Daniel was a man that had some purpose in his life. Amen. He said, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that route. And of course, he knew by purposing that in his heart to oppose Nebuchadnezzar could mean his death. Amen. He was such a man that had convictions that he said that I'm not going to do this and sin against God, whether the king commands it or not, whether the king sent over his mess of meat or not, or his filthy wine. Amen. I'm not going to drink the fermented wine. I'm not going to eat his pork. I'm not going to do none of that that the king wants me to do, because I've sinned against God and I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
He knew that it might cost him his head. Daniel was not ignorant of that fact, amen, nor was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were not ignorant of the fact that Nebuchadnezzar could have them killed. And so we see that Daniel was a great man, I believe, because he purposed in his heart that he was going to live for God, didn't matter what come, amen, don't matter what kind of persecution he faced, don't matter how much the devil fought, don't matter how much the king tempted him, amen, he was going to do right, amen, in the sight of God. And so we see here that he purposed in his heart some things. He had some conviction. The old saying goes, if you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. But Daniel was a man that purposed in his heart, I'm going to stand for God and do right. And of course, he's not the only one in the Scriptures that done that. We have Joseph is a good example of that. In Genesis 39:9 says, there is none greater in this house. You remember Joseph was sold into bondage by his brothers, and of course he went down to Potiphar's house in Egypt. He was a slave down there, and Potiphar knew that he was a good young man, and he was a smart young man, and Potiphar made him a second ruler in his house and had the care of all of his goods. But his his master's wife set her eyes on Joseph and tried to get Joseph day after day to commit sin with her, commit adultery with her, and Joseph would not yield. He said in Genesis 39 and verse 9, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Amen. And so Joseph wouldn't yield to the temptation because he knew if he yielded, he'd be sinning against God. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel was such a man. Joseph was such a man. David was such a man. In 1 Samuel 17:26, "And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "And so shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard him when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him and toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. David saw a Philistine, a giant named Goliath, standing on one side of the valley and the children of Israel on the other side of the valley, and this giant's going out every day shaking his fist at them and cussing God and cussing the armies of Israel and saying, "Give me a man to fight with me and I'll take his head from him and you'll be my servant. You give me a man to kill me and we'll be your servant." But that old Philistine, that giant Goliath, would go out every day and cuss God. Cuss the armies of God. Amen. And David come over there one day and says, "Now ain't nobody going to go over there and cut that fellow's head off? What are y'all waiting on?" Amen. David said, "I'm ready to go." Amen. "This fellow's defying the armies of the living God. Is there not a cause? Can't somebody go there and kill that Philistine?" Nobody's wanting to go because it's all shaking in their boots. I mean, he's a giant of a man, about 10 foot tall. I mean, he's got a spear like a weaver's beam, about that. He's got an armor bearer going before him. He's a man of war from his youth. Amen. I mean, he's a giant. David said, "Is there not a cause?" He said, "I'll go over and take his head off."
Amen.
Of course, David went in the name of the Lord. Amen. He went out. He went with the Lord's strength. He went in the name of the Lord, fought the Lord's battle, and the Lord fought the battle for him.
That's right.
Why? Because he stood for God.
That's right.
Daniel stood for God. Joseph stood for God. David stood for God. Paul stood for God. 2 Timothy 4:16. Paul said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." When Paul stood for God and no man stood with him, God delivered him, amen? And Paul preached the gospel of the Gentiles, and that's the reason we're saved today. The gospel of Jesus Christ went into the Gentile world because a man stood for God. I mean, these men had convictions. They purposed in their heart, "We're going to live for God. We're going to do what's right. No matter what the government says, no matter what the king says, no matter what anybody else says, we're going to do what this Bible tells us to do."
Amen.
And so Daniel was great because he purposed. Daniel was great because he prayed. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime.
Amen.
Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God.
Amen.
Daniel was a man of prayer. King had made a decree, you can't pray to God. If you pray, you're going to be cast into a den of lions. Not a lion's den, but a den of lions. Amen. That's the difference. You can be thrown into the lion's den. No lions there, but he says it's a den of lions. Amen. And they were real lions. And old Daniel, when he knew that the writing was written by the king and sealed with the king's signature and signet, amen, he still went to his bed chamber and threw his windows open toward Jerusalem like he is supposed to do, amen. And 3 times a day, like he did every day, he prayed to God and gave his supplication before the Lord. He was a praying man. Amen. No person will ever be used to God if they don't pray.
That's right.
You can't have fellowship with the Lord if you don't pray. You can't get victory over sin if you don't pray.
That's right.
You can't be spiritual if you don't pray.
Right.
You can't get directions if you don't pray. You got to pray. And Daniel was a man that prayed. He purposed in his heart that he would not sin against God, and then he prayed to God. He prayed daily. Prayed 3 times a day, every day. He prayed for direction. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Old Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was fixing to kill all the wise men, the princes, and all of them in Babylon there, and Daniel and his buddies was in that crowd. And the Bible says here that Daniel went to his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that they might desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. When Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah began to pray, God revealed the secret of the king's dream to them.
That's right.
In a night vision. And their life was spared. Amen. Because of it. And so he prayed for direction. He prayed for deliverance. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, in the first year of Darius the king, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, listen, he said, I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have rebelled, even by departing thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. What's Daniel praying for? He's praying for delivery.
Yeah,
he's praying that God would deliver him and his people, his brothers and sisters, amen, his fellow Israelites out of their bondage, amen, and he's confessing his sins.
That's right, sir.
And the sins of his country.
Amen.
The sins of his people. So he's a purpose man. He's a praying man. He studied the precepts of God. He's a student of the Word.
Yes,
I'm talking about why Daniel was a great man, why he's a great servant of the Lord, why he was a prophet of God, why God used him, amen. He studied the precepts of God. Again, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the year, the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. Okay? He understood by books. What books? The books of the Bible. The Old Testament books. Amen. He said, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. He is reading Jeremiah.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You remember that God gave Jeremiah the word. He had a man that pinned it down. Of course, the old king over at Jerusalem tried to get cut it up, throw it in the fire, and get rid of it. And God gave it to him again. But God told him, said, I want you to send it over to those of the captivity and let them read it. Build your houses over here. Plant some vineyards. And because there's 70 years before you're going to be released from your bondage. Old Jeremiah sent that word over there too. Daniel got a copy of it. Daniel's been reading the Bible. He's been reading that inspired word of God. Amen. He's a student of the scriptures. And so that's why God blessed him. Amen. That's why God used him. Because he wanted to know the mind of God. He wanted to know the will of God for his life. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. Every Christian ought to study and read the Bible. You ought to pray on a regular basis. You ought to purpose in your heart that you're going to live for God.
Amen.
Don't matter what comes.
Sir.
Psalm 119:11 says, the word, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If we'll hide the word of God in our heart, it'll help keep us from sin.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalms 119:133, order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. God wants to direct our path in his scriptures, amen, by his word.
Amen.
And we need to submit to it as Daniel did.
Yes,
he's a student of the Bible. And then not only that, but Daniel praised God.
Yes, that's right.
He's a man that believed in old time worship and praise.
Amen.
We had a little bit of that in here this morning. Amen.
Yes,
I'd like to see a lot more.
Yes,
amen. Don't bother me at all. I love it. Amen. I love praise. I love testimonies. I love shouting, singing, and praising the Lamb of God. Amen. I just love it. There's nothing like it when the Spirit of God begins to work and move.
Right, sir.
Amen. The people of God begin to recount and rejoice in the things that God has done for them.
Yes, sir.
That's what rejoicing is. You begin to have joy again because you're meditating and thinking upon the good things of God. What he's done for causes that old heart to bubble up a little bit, amen. And you just can't contain it. Amen. It comes out your eyeballs and out your fingertips and toenails and everywhere else, amen. But Daniel praised God in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, and Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Notice what he said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. What's he doing? I think he's praising the Lord. He said, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Notice what he said, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I'll show unto the king the interpretation. When the Lord revealed unto Daniel the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and his life and his friend's life and the lives of others was going to be spared, he began to thank God and praise God for hearing an answered prayer.
Yes, sir.
sir.
When God hears you and answers your prayer, you ought to thank Him for it.
Amen.
You ought to praise Him for it.
Yes, sir.
You ought to be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. The Bible says, Psalms 150 and verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. That's you and me. Amen. All of us are to praise the Lord. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. If there's not anything else you get this morning, I want you to know that the Lord is good. Amen. God is good to you. And God is good to me. And thank God His mercy is everlasting. The devil will tell you, well, God's not going to forgive you this time, but the Bible says that His mercy is everlasting. Amen. And His truth endureth to all generations. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away, He said.
Right,
forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. I thank God. We got plenty to praise Him for.
Amen.
We got plenty to thank Him for this morning. We talk about why Daniel was great. He is a man of conviction. He purposed in his heart not going to sin against God. He was a praying man. He is a Bible study man. He was a praising man. When God done something for Daniel, he praised the Lord for him.
Amen.
Amen. When God done something for him, he thanked God for it.
Yes, sir.
And then Daniel was a pure man. He lived a pure life. He was pure before men because he was pure and righteous before God. That don't mean that he was self-righteous. That don't mean he was trusting in his own righteousness, because we just read a minute ago where he confessed his sins and the sins of his people.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But his righteousness is in God.
Amen.
But he's a man that wants to live right. He's a man that does live right. And talk about Daniel. Daniel 6 and verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred before the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel was faithful to the king, to the king Darius, King Nebuchadnezzar, King Cyrus. He was faithful to those kings. I'm talking about he did what he was supposed to do. He lived right. Those presidents that were envious and jealous of him tried to find occasion to fall with him, and they could find nothing against that. There was none occasion nor fault found in him, for as much as he was faithful. He was not only faithful to the king, I'm talking about earthly kings, but he was faithful to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He was faithful to God. Faithful to pray. Faithful to read that Bible. Faithful to praise God. Daniel was a faithful man. I remember when I came out here years ago that pastors tried to encourage me at different times, and they'd say, Brother Howard said God didn't call you to be successful. God called you to be faithful.
That's right.
Amen. My pastor told me that. I had other godly men tell me that. Amen. And said, Brother Howard, time after time after time, I'm talking about godly men that called me and I talked to and I wrote correspondence with. Amen. They said, Brother Howard, God has not called you to be successful. God called you to be faithful.
That's right.
Amen. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I want to be faithful. I can't say that I've been faithful in everything. I've wanted to be faithful in everything. I've tried to be faithful, but Daniel was faithful. And that's why God recorded his name in the Word of God here in Ezekiel when he named him and Job and And who was the other? Moses, I think it was. I can't remember who the other one was.
Noah,
Job, and Daniel. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. But they were faithful. That's all. I could preach on all three of them. They all had the same faithfulness.
Right.
They all were students of the Word of God. They all were men of prayer. The Bible says that Noah moved with fear. When God spoke to him, Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Noah was a man that walked with God. Job was a man that praised God and trusted in God, even when God took everything away, let the devil take everything away from him.
That's right.
Took all of his children, took his land, his flocks, his herds, his servants, amen, and afflicted him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet with sore boils. And his wife comes along and says, "Cuss God and die." And he says, "Do you speak as one of the foolish women?"
Amen.
God shall receive good to hand the Lord and not evil.
Amen.
Lord's given, Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And Job, the Bible says Job charged not God foolishly. He didn't foolishly charge God, say, "Oh God, why are you doing this? What are you doing? Why'd you kill my young ones? Why'd you kill all my flocks and herds? Why'd you take all my money out of my bank account? Why'd you do this?" No, Job didn't charge God foolishly. And you know the patience of Job, the Bible says, that in the latter end God blessed him with twice as much. I believe he had seven young ones in heaven, seven on the earth when it was all over with. I believe that however many cows he had, however many sheep he had twice as much when it was over with.
Amen.
And how much land he had, I believe he had twice as much when it was over with. He may have lived twice as long, I don't know. But the Bible says that God blessed him.
Amen.
Twice as much in his last reign. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying these men lived for God.
Yes.
They were faithful. They loved God.
Help us, Lord.
Amen. And we need to be like that as well. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation, charity and spirit and faith and purity." We're to be examples of believers. What made Daniel great? What make us great? When we live like they did.
Amen.
When we do what the Bible says to do.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example.
Amen.
Well, you can't, let me say this before I close. You can't live for God unless you say.
That's right.
These men were believers. These men trusted in the true and living God. These men loved God. They had the Spirit of God to help them live for the Lord. And if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God can help you live for the Lord. But if you're lost, you don't have the Spirit of God to help you live for the Lord. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You can't know the things of God, and you can't do the things of God unless you're born of the Spirit of God. That's why people need to be saved. I had no desire to live right before I got saved.
Amen.
I had no desire to go to church before I got saved. No desire to read the Bible. No desire to pray. All the time I prayed when I was lost is when I was afraid I was fixing to go to hell.
That's right.
Or I thought somebody else was going to die. I remember being at a wreck going down, and I thought the fella that I'd hit, amen, was going to die. And I was praying, "God, please don't let him die." And I just as lost as I could be. But I didn't know nothing about the things of God, how to live for God. Couldn't live for God without the Lord's help. I can't live for God today without the Lord's help.
That's right.
I need the Lord's help. Amen. Every day of my life. Let's stand for prayer this morning. I hope that the Lord spoke to your heart in some way. Are you living for Him? Are you standing for Him? Are you praying unto Him? Are you studying His Word? Are you praising Him? Are you witnessing for Him? Are you doing the things that you're supposed to do? Amen. Let's sing an invitation song this morning. We'll ask the musician come. Page 394 in the Green Hymn Book. 394. We want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to our hearts in the invitation. Father, we love You. Thank You again for allowing us to be in Your house this morning. I pray, Father, that You'd help us, Lord, to learn from the life of these great men that You mentioned there in Ezekiel 14. Lord, I know that there's a lot of things we could have preached about this morning, but Lord, help us, Father, to be, Lord, follow these examples of these great men. But the greatest example is our Lord and Savior. Help us to walk in His steps. Father, help us, Lord, to be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Father, I ask You, Lord, that You'd help me, Lord, to finish my course with joy. And Lord, I pray, Father, that when the end comes, Lord, we can leave this world with a shout, Lord, with glory in our soul, and we'll thank You and praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Page 394. We'll sing a verse or two of this old hymn. If you need to come and pray, these altars open. We've got a small altar, but you gather around the altar. If you need to pray and talk to God, you obey the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. He can use us like He did Daniel, like He did Noah, Job, Philip, who we taught about this morning in Sunday school class. They were all surrendered people. Amen. Everybody, every patriarch in the Bible, every apostle of Jesus Christ, except Judas Iscariot, who was never saved to start with, but every one of them were surrendered men. Even those women, the Lord's mother, Mary Magdalene, Susanna, Anna, different ones that's mentioned in the scriptures that God used in a great mighty way, were surrendered people, submissive to the Lord. What would You have me to do, Lord? What do You want me to do?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. We've got to be surrendered if we're going to be usable. And I don't know about you, but I want to be usable.
Amen.
I want to be a help to somebody in some way. Not live for myself all the time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. A lot of people just live for themselves, but I don't want to live for myself all the time because that's an empty and dead life.
That's right.
But when you live for others, that's where the joy's at. That's where the blessing's at. Living for the Lord, living for others, to be a help to somebody else. Amen. Then you can enjoy life.
Amen.
Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. We do appreciate you being here. And appreciate the visitors. Y'all shake hands with them, amen, make them feel welcome. And Brother John Corner, would you ask God to dismiss us, please, sir?
My gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins.
Yes, Father.
Lord, I thank you for this church here, Lord. It's a light shining in this Tucson, Arizona, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to come and worship here with these people, Lord. I pray that you bless them abundantly, Lord. I pray that you add them to them as you see fit. Thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you for touching us and be with us, Lord. I praise you. Give you the honor and glory and praise for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. In the name of God.
Amen. Oh, God bless you, Mr. Hans. Hey, I had to get that, and I hope I ain't got nothing on my face.
Don't worry about it.
You appreciate you coming. We'll be praying for you, okay? You come back anytime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.